Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the NIAC School Board meeting for Tuesday, May 3rd, 2016. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I am Trustee Michael March. President Hughes is en route.
She's right literally coming down the
stairs. President Hughes is coming down the aisle. And is about to chair this meeting.
Good time.
Okay. While President Hughes gets settled, Trustee Irvin is not here. She's out, not feeling well. We are here, ready to have a good evening of recognitions. So while President Hughes is getting settled, I will ask for a motion to approve the agenda.
Motion.
And just for clarification, it's the amended agenda?
Amended agenda. Approval of the amended agenda. Motion by Trustee Marshall. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Trustee Maraschino. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed?
Motion.
Abstentions? Motion carries. Agenda is approved. We now have a series of recognitions that we will turn over to Dr. Montesano.
Thank you, Trustee Mark. This is always a real special night for the NIAC School District. Anytime you have an opportunity to recognize young people, certainly our students who come first in this district, but now I can also say as young people, I'm also talking to you folks that are candidates of tenure as well. Tonight, we have the opportunity, the board has the opportunity to recognize three outstanding NIAC High School seniors. We are going to be recognizing our salutatory and our co-valedictorians. First, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Aoife McGurl. Salutatory. Aoife, are you here tonight?
Come down
and join me at the podium so I can sufficiently embarrass you. I would also like to invite President Hughes to come to the microphone as well, and she can present you your certificate. Before she does that, Aoife, why don't you turn and face the audience? And, my first sentence about you, you were the kind of student when I was in high school, I would be I use the word jealous of. Because Aoife makes everything look easy. Her emotional intelligence is displayed in an easygoing personality and genuine care for people, and you can see the folks smile. Aoife makes great decisions regarding her course planning, is always willing to take risks. She's daringly decided to take 5 AP courses in college-level Spanish during her senior year, when most seniors typically are on cruise control. She's also an avid athlete, having run track and field in grades 9 to 11, played soccer since 5th grade. She works hard and never complains. Is that true? Never complains? I have 4-year-olds, and I'm check your parents on that one. For 2 years, she held public relations positions for the NIAC junior class and the student body. She is active in the community, refereeing soccer games as a ski instructor, member of the Youth Against Cancer, as intern in the Cayuga Center in the Bronx, working with unaccompanied minors. Aoife has been instrumental at Walden Terrace Homework Club, tutoring middle school students in math with Mrs. Papalardo 3 times a week for the past year and a half. No matter what Aoife does, it includes a wonderful spirit of energy, an infectious smile, a well-deserved salutatorian. I present Aoife McGurl.
Thank you.
specimen. And Katya Grossman, if they would also come forward, please. Yeah. As they're walking to the podium, I'm going to begin with Natalie. Natalie is co-valedictorian from the class of 2016. Natalie is a positive influence at Nyack High School. She is caring, dependable, and highly intelligent clerk. She will be receiving an advanced Regents diploma and has been recognized as an AP scholar by the College Board for her outstanding test scores. Natalie has been inducted into the National Honor Society, as well as Math, Spanish, Science, and Art Honor Societies. Natalie demonstrated her concern for others by her participation for 4 years as a member and treasurer of the Youth Against Cancer Club. She has been active fundraiser and organizer for many community events. She also volunteered with teams for hospice at Nyack Hospital. Natalie looks forward to pursuing a career in the health field. Natalie will continue to excel academically and will succeed at the University of Connecticut, where she'll be attending this fall. We present co-valedictorian Natalie Espeso. Katya was the drum major of the Redstorm, Proud Redstorm Marching Band. Used her leadership skills and abilities to spark a sense of team and school spirit amongst the band members. Katya has been recognized by the College Board as an AP scholar and a member of the National Honor Society. She would like to explore the field of computer science, mathematics, Spanish language, and music while in college. Okay. We're going to be spending a lot of time in the library. Katya has contributed to the Nyack community through Girl Scouts of America. She has earned a silver, re-silver Girl Scout Award and has been helping to lead Girl Scout troops for the past 3 years. Through her leadership and initiative, over $2,000 have been raised for our local domestic violence shelter. Katya will make the Nyack School District very proud at Vassar College, where she will be attending this fall. Congratulations to you, Katya. I've always felt that we don't want just good teachers in a Nyack school district, we want great teachers. And great teachers, in my mind, treat every child the way their favorite teacher treated them. And what that really means to be a favorite teacher, I'd like all of us to just kind of reflect a little bit, think back to your childhood. For some of us, it's a little bit more of a journey than others. And just think about the reasons why that individual or individuals come to mind. And for me, it's Mr. Cowell, who was my AP statistics teacher in high school, and my sixth grade teacher, who taught me a very needed skill of self-control when I was a sixth grader. And they come to mind for a lot of different reasons, but primarily because of all the folks that I met in my career as a student. They really believed in me, and I really think that's the essence of what great teachers are really all about. And I do think the group of people that we have here tonight really demonstrate that on a daily basis across this district, and the group that we're talking about this evening are in fact represented in all five of our schools. And I would invite you, when you have an opportunity, just to take a look at this outstanding group of people in your program tonight. You're going to see things, words describing them about this infectious energy, this contagious positive influence that they present to our kids. Also the idea that they have high expectations, not for the very, very brightest and best students that come prepared to school, but every single child that crosses their threshold, regardless of what type of background that they come. And those are the kind of teachers we need in society today. So with that in mind, at this point, I'm going to invite the principals of their schools, beginning with Mrs. Reckenberger at Liberty School, to present her tenured candidate.
Good evening. It's with great pleasure that I introduce to you Tamara O'Sullivan.
Next up, our newest Upper NIAC principal, Mr. Joe McCord. Thank you. Vincent Maiuba.
To have everyone stay all night. I'm going to move into the action item, and if the board could present...
My mic is not on.
Hello?
He said talking to
you. You just have to get closer.
Can you hear me? Is it good? Okay. So what I'd like to do is move into the action item to approve the tenure candidates, and then we'll take commentary from each of the board members as appropriate through discussion. Is that okay with everyone?
Sure.
Okay, wonderful. So do we have a motion to approve the tenure candidates as presented?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Discussion?
Win. You want us to take the action, didn't discuss?
No, yeah.
That's what I thought. Yeah, we do.
Would you like some comments?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you, President. So, in this final year of my board tenure, this is one of the very, very wonderful nights that I get to preside at, to be at, and to vote on. Clue, I'll be voting yes. I just wanted to wish all 12 of you just the best. Keep shining bright. Remember always that it's about the kids. I know you do that now, and I know you will. Look to mentors. Look to your coworkers and co-teachers for education. Continue to learn and continue to teach, and God bless you all. Thank you.
Trustee Mark.
Thank you, President Hughes. Congratulations to you all, pending our vote. Each tenure candidate has received a copy of The Art of Teaching, a pamphlet that was written by Horace Mann when he was a school board member in 1840. And he was prescient in certain matters, and I thought it's always interesting to find something that might be pertinent to teaching methods today. Just a short piece. He or she who is apt to teach is acquainted not only with common methods for common minds, but with peculiar methods for pupils of peculiar dispositions and temperaments. And he or she is acquainted with the principles of all methods whereby a teacher can vary their plan according to any difference of circumstances. A teacher should have knowledge of modes as various as the diversity of cases that may arise, that like a skillful pilot, they may not only see the haven for which they are to steer, but know every bend in the channel that leads to it. No one is so poor in resources for difficult emergencies as they may arise as he whose knowledge of methods is limited to the one in which he happened to be instructed. It is this way that rude nations go on for indefinite periods, imitating what they have seen and teaching only as they were taught. I know that we put a lot of emphasis on addressing the needs of every child in this district. I know that that's what you've been doing for the years you've been seeking this tenure. And this is not the end of something. It is the beginning of a long association that you will hopefully have with all the kids in the Nyack School District. Thank you all for making your commitment here. And great congratulations to each and every one of you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, President Hughes. First, I just want to congratulate Natalie and Katya and Aoife. It looks like the young women are crushing it this year in terms of our salutatorian and our valedictorian, so congratulations to your honor. And then briefly celebrate our candidates tonight as upon the vote will be awarded tenure. Today, interestingly enough, is Tuesday, May 3rd, National Teacher Appreciation Day, so how convenient and how appropriate that you're achieving this honor on this day. President Obama tweeted out to his fifth grade teacher, Mrs. Mabel Hefty, and the educators who aspire young people, and I thought of what Dr. Montesano was saying. All of us here in this room had that favorite teacher that inspired us. And speaking of inspiration, I was casually listening to the radio and came upon the CBS News story on this year's Teacher of the Year. And I know that all of you who are receiving tenure will in your career have your students come up to you and say that, you know, comments that this young woman's student said to her, she's always saying, you have to put on your big girl pants. That's from a young woman. She always taught us to be conscientious members of society. I have contentious in my notes, but that's not correct. Contentious members of society. You can tell she really enjoys teaching and that it's not her job. My family has been through a lot, and she's been there. And I shared this with the board, and I shared it with our building leaders, each one of them, because it reminded me of a lot of the building leaders and leaders in this district that we have. And I know that you, as will continue in your careers in demonstrating that type of leadership. And lastly, the comment that the Teacher of the Year shared, and I want to share it with you, She says, I was raised by my community, so I don't take the responsibility of being a teacher lightly because that role doesn't end in the classroom. So much of our focus has been on graduating students that are self-sustaining. We need to graduate citizens. We need to graduate people who care about their neighbors, who will be conscientious, productive members of society. This is a nation I want to see moving forward. So I just want to congratulate all of you. Job well done. Thank you.
All right, so I was thinking the same thing as James. Girl power, great job, girls. So impressive. I remember most of you when you were just little girls, so it's so great seeing you up here. Of course, now I'm gonna go home and bug my kids and make them do like all these things that you guys are doing, but great job, congratulations. And to all of the teachers, I hope you guys realize this. I mean, you know, like, you are the backbone of our schools. Like, our kids' experience with you guys in the classroom, I think, is really makes up the majority of their school experience and what is the key thing about their experience in school. And I just wanted to say that one of my favorite things about the teachers in NIAC is going to, teacher night, parent-teacher night. And I go in and I talk to teachers, and it's not about like how our kids are doing in schools academically. But it's teachers that really know my kids. I love when I go in there and you guys tell me like you understand their personalities, you know them, and it makes you just feel so good about having that loving, caring community. And you know, a special shout out to Miss Dillon, who not only knows my son's birthday, but shares the same birthday as him, which is tonight. So congratulations to all you guys. It's thank you so much for all of your hard work.
To the young ladies, girl power as well. Congratulations. in particular to the young lady attending University of Connecticut, where my daughter is taking a final. I think she's out now, yes. So you have NIAC up there waiting for you. To all the teachers, one of the reasons I joined this school board and decided to serve was because of the teachers of this NIAC school district, because you inspire all of us in the community, how you take care of our children. And so for me to have a chance to approve and vote on this and sort of give back in my little way is very, very humbling. And so all I say to all of you is congratulations, continue your efforts, and continue to inspire our children. Thank you.
So to wrap this up, I just want to say that it astounds me that people actually still want to teach, given how much this country is battering our teachers. And my hat's off to you, even more so, because it talks to what you want to do because of your passion for the job, as opposed to the rewards of the job that come either monetarily or otherwise. It's pretty clear that you do this for love of job. I couldn't do it. I can't teach my two kids, but yet you managed to take on 30 in a class, however many in a school. It's phenomenal to me, and I will never understand how a country cannot understand this and put all their resources behind education. I found two quotes today, one from President John F. Kennedy, who said, "Our progress as a nation can be no swifter than our progress in education." How profound is that? Who doesn't get that? And going all the way back to Abe Lincoln, "Teach your children so that it will not be necessary to teach the adults." So listen, congrats. Thank you. You're crazy, but I love that you're crazy to continue doing this. And best of luck to each and every one of you, and congrats to everyone who got tenure tonight. Sorry, Trustee Jutta.
Yes. I apologize. My apologies to Natalie, Katya, and Aoife for not congratulating you before I congratulate the teachers. Best of luck, Natalie UConn and Katya Vassar. I didn't hear where Aoife's going, but I understand it's Duke University. So congratulations to you, Aoife, as well. Thank you.
I believe we're going to recess to honor tenured staff, so I'd like
to... I think
we
need to call the vote.
Oh, yes, we've got to take the vote.
They don't have tenure yet.
Thank you. They don't have it yet. Thank you, Trustee Mark. Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Congratulations. Okay, moving forward, President's report. After that wonderful event, there's not much to say. Just for the record, congrats to everybody. I just one other thing, like to congratulate all our athletes of the week. This week we had a nice crop of students doing wonderful things, and congratulations to each and every one of them. That's my report, Dr. Montesano.
Yeah, I just want to bring up one item. Today at Nyack High School, and I do want to thank Lisa Vitalik and the members of OCADA, sponsored a program called SAFE, which was a simulation. I don't know, Hunter, do you have an opportunity to? Okay. It was a driving simulation, really covering two main points of unsafe driving, one being driving under the influence, the other being texting while driving. So I just want to acknowledge OCADA for their donated funds that allowed us to present that to the group. It sounded like it was a very, very positive experience for the kids.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. That's it. Dr. Montesano?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Our student's report, student rep report, Hunter Andraska.
Thank you, President Hughes. Just a couple events happening at the high school. Next week, the Drama Club is putting on their one acts, which is student-run performances that they put on right on the stage. It's really cool. I've been to, I think, two of them since I've been in the high school. And there are a series of little skits, maybe five different skits, that are run completely by students, directed, written, and starring all the students. It's really cool to check out. It's $7 for students and, I believe, $12 for adults. And also next weekend is the Dave Segrist Tournament, which is a baseball tournament that takes place at the high school. That will be next Friday and Saturday. And I grew up with Mr. Segrist as my gym teacher, so I know this tournament means a lot to the whole entire district, and I hope you guys can make it to that. And also congrats to everybody that got awards tonight or recognized, the co-valedictorians, salutatorians, and all the teachers who received tenure. That is my report.
Thanks, Hunter. We'll go with the board reports. So we'll start with you, T-Rock.
I attended the NAACP dinner last week. It was a great event to see just the leaders in the community, the support from the various school districts supporting the NIAC chapter of the NAACP. It was a great event. Also, just again, congratulations to the student athletes. A lot of milestones, as you noted, Ms. Hughes. And just a small shout out to the NIAC modified lacrosse team. I went to my first game. It was pretty exciting. They won 6-5. So right. My son's on that team, so sorry. Part of my favoritism there. But just congratulations again to the student athletes. I'm just amazed at our student body and the diversity with between music, sports, and the sciences. That's it. That's all I have.
Okay. Thanks very much. Trustee Jupter.
Thank you, President Hughes. I'll echo what you said and what Trustee Rock said, and thank everyone and wish everyone well, and the athletes did a great job. And again, tenure and the salutatorian and valedictorians, and I will say that's the end of my report.
Thank you very much. Trustee Maraschino.
All right, so I want to talk about the NAACP dinner too, because it was really, really exciting. I was just looking at my notes because I had forgotten the name of the keynote speaker was Reverend William Barber II of North Carolina. And he was an amazingly powerful keynote speaker. You know, he just got you kind of thinking about everything. He spoke about, you know, the importance of universal health care, of course, the importance of public education for all kids. You know, he spoke about equal rights for gay, lesbian couples. It was you know, just really motivating, you know, kind of made you think about, all right, what can we do next? You know, what do you want to leave there thinking about, like, how can you play a role in sort of really making the world a better place and listening to the message that he was sharing. So I didn't bring anything specific, but it just kind of gets you thinking about, you know, diversity and how could we sort of continue to look at that and emphasize that within our own school district. You know, didn't bring any specific ideas, but, you know, just something that I'd like to have us, you know, I think it's something that we all as a board have talked about and thought about, but, you know, it was just an amazingly motivational dinner, so that was great. And then I just wanted to give some thanks to the high school baseball coach, varsity coach De Palma, and sort of his team. They had a trip. The varsity baseball team went to Cooperstown this past weekend over the break. They got to take a bus up, play a game in Cooperstown Stadium. They did great. They won. Not only did they, you know, it's not all about winning, but all the boys on the team got to play, which was really nice. They stayed over. They took a trip to Cooperstown Hall of Fame the next day, and it really sounds like the coaches did an amazing job, you know, just managing a large group of juniors and seniors and really giving them a nice experience. You know, you put so much effort, these student athletes really work hard for their sport, so I think it's nice when you really can do something a little special like that for them and give them a good experience. So that is my report.
Thank you very much. Trustee Marshall.
Thank you, President Hughes. I really don't have much to report. I just wanted to say ditto to Joe and Lisa for the Save a Life tour that Dr. Bonasano mentioned earlier, and that is my report.
Thanks very much. Trustee Mark.
Thank you, President Hughes. Also, just echoing other board members for the NAACP dinner and our athletes who were busy and successful over vacation, and to our salutatorians and valedictorians and tenure candidates, congratulations, and that's my report.
Thank you very much, Mark. Sorry, lost my place here. Dr. Montesano, any response to citizens' prior proposals, questions, and concerns?
No.
Okay. Are there any citizens' proposals, questions, and concerns at this time? Kaylee, for the podcast, could you state your name before you start?
Sure. Hi, I'm Kaylee Travers. I'm a junior at Nyack High School, and I've been a Girl Scout since kindergarten, as you can see by my vest. I've worked on my bronze award and my silver award, and at this time in my life, it's time for me to take on my gold. So I've been thinking of a few ways that I could do a project that would really help out the community. And my mom, working at Valley College Elementary School, I've taken notice to the flagpole and that situation there. So I really wanted to improve that landscaped area. And there are also two memorials sitting there, but I know I've talked to a lot of people, and when they drive by, they don't really understand what they are. One just appears to be a rock because it's just a plaque on a rock, and the other is kind of sitting there awkwardly, so nobody really knows why they're there or doesn't really understand what it's about. And obviously, as I've mentioned, the flagpole isn't in great shape. It's pretty old and put in a long time ago, so I think it's time that we install a new one, or perhaps even refurbish the old one, just to make it look a bit cleaner and neater for the sake of the community and the school, especially considering, like, if you go to Liberty or even Upper Nyack, you notice they have nicer and more updated flagpoles, and then at the school, which has the memorials, you would expect there to be a nice flagpole there, too, considering they're honoring the veterans there. So, yeah, I would really like to take on this project. As you could see through my proposal, I've listed ways I would fundraise and the construction that I would take on. I've talked to a few people, such as Kenneth Kimmel, who specializes in flagpoles and awnings and stuff of that nature, and he's given me his insight. He said that it is possible to refurbish the old one if we take it down, and I could sand down the pole and then repaint it, or I could just install a new one, which I think at this point is what I would prefer, because to me, I would rather put in something that's going to last a longer time. But I can understand, and I want to give you guys the opportunity to give your input and if you would rather save the old one or put in a new one. But that's really the basis of my project, and I hope that I can work out something with you guys. Oh, yeah, and then after all the construction, my project is also required to have a certain amount of leadership, which obviously I'd kind of be in the driver's seat, so I would be leading, like, the construction workers, and, you know, that's my project to put together. But also afterwards, I wanted to speak to the kids at the elementary school about Veterans Day and just the importance of, you know, being an American, essentially, I suppose, and, you know, perhaps even preparing care packages to send off to the veterans. Jerry Donnellan, who works with the Rockland Veterans Association, I've been in contact with him, and he certainly said he could use care packages and stuff of that nature. And then I would like to conclude my project on Veterans Day, which means the brunt of my project would be going on this summer. But I would like to conclude it on Veterans Day with a ceremony to invite any town veterans, anybody that wants to come, just people that have helped me along the way, and they could see the finished product, and, you know, we could all celebrate together. So,
any questions? Thank you very much. Okay. Any questions of Kaylee at this time?
I like the idea of solar lights.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention that. Thank you for bringing that up. Right now, there's a rule for flag etiquette that if a flag is hung through 24 hours of the day, it should be seen 24 hours of the day, and obviously it gets dark, so you can't see it by nighttime. So solar lights are a great opportunity and way to see the flag, so I would definitely like to put some in, so that even if, like I said, if we refurbished, I'd still put some in. They're only like a few $100s, and I'm sure, like, I have the utmost space in this community. Maniac is a great community. I love it here. And I put in my proposal actually as a reference point. I play for the Rockland Rockets, and we just did a fundraiser, and we raised $250 in like 2 hours and 15 minutes. So I have, like, people are like, how are you going to fundraise enough money to buy a flagpole? And I'm like, trust me, in NIAC it could be done. NIAC is the place. But okay. Yeah, so.
Excellent. Any other questions?
I have a question.
Yeah,
trustee Buck. Your flagpole estimate, is that for a new flagpole? That's not refurbished, right?
Yeah, for a new flagpole, I talked to Mr. Kimmel, like, who I mentioned earlier, and he said it'd probably be about 1,000 for a standard 25 to 30 foot flagpole.
Gotcha. Thank you.
What I would like to suggest to the board is to, I want to thank you for this presentation. It's always wonderful to see our students get involved in community-based projects. I also want to recognize your parents as well for encouraging you. As far as you've gone already, it's impressive that you stayed with the Girl Scouts. One of the things I'd like to do is to arrange for a meeting with Kevin Heaton and perhaps Carlene to really get talk a little bit more in detail about the nature of the project, how the district can assist in terms of, and timelines as to when some of the project work can be done. Already you've made a difference, just this project, just to highlight, and I think it'd be interesting to take a look at the names on the plaques to see how many of those veterans that were memorialized or recognized are still alive today. And as it turned out, I talked with Mr. Heaton today, and we reviewed your project, and his own father is listed on that plaque. His name is Hillary Heaton, and Kevin was so excited that it kind of brought up memories. We had a discussion about his service in the Pacific. He was in the Black Sheep Squadron. Some of you may remember the show Black Sheep and Pappy Boyington. But to see Kevin get so engaged and thinking about his dad, who actually is still alive and lives in Maine. And Kevin went down to Valley Cottage after your email today, your presentation, and did a rubbing of his dad's name, and I don't know if he was faxing it or scanning it and sending it up to dad for him as well. But how wonderful would it be? I'm not sure if he'll be able to make it all the way down on Veterans Day, but if there are some veterans that are acknowledged on that, recognized on that plaque, to have them present would be wonderful. I think I can tell by your determination that this project is going to become to be seen as completed. One of the other things I think we want to do is do an assessment of the existing flagpole. And while I think it's wonderful that there's an interest in making a donation, that's still certainly possible. But I'd like to take a look at its condition and you know, talk to the board about, you know, in terms of our responsibility of making sure that we have adequate equipment in the district. And to see, you know, we can take a look at an assessment to see what the differences would be to refurbish versus installation. Flagpoles are typically designed to last for a lot of years, and while it may look in poor shape, primarily probably because of the painting, I've seen flagpoles be refurbished and really look very, you know, very beautiful. So that's the one thing we probably want to look at. But I think it'd be the next step, you know, from the district's perspective, is just to have a meeting, talk a little bit more about the project in detail, and see how the district can assist your efforts, and then organize a schedule when this all can maybe take place. That would be my suggestion to the board.
Okay. Any comments on that? Everybody comfortable with that?
I just wanted to thank Kaylee. This is great stuff, and it's the energy and the enthusiasm is a wonderful thing, so I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, me too. I just went, yeah, great job. Everything. I mean, the proposal looks beautiful. Your writing's wonderful. Your ideas, all the research you did, so it's really impressive, and yeah, thank you for bringing it to us.
Okay. Thanks, Kaylee.
Thanks, Kaylee. Okay.
Thank you very much.
You didn't get any help on this, did you?
Actually, no. I was giving me mad props because I was like, you need to proofread, I'll let you proofread, but like, I'm very OCD with the board stuff. So,
yeah,
thank you. Beautiful.
Yes,
where the teeth and the scissors work.
Okay. Very nicely done. Great
job.
And then this is like really cool, but I was like, just for fun, for kicks.
Oh, that's awesome. Ah, I like that. That's nice. That's awesome.
Hey, if Land Associates can bring in prototypes, why not?
Nice. Why not?
Good job.
Thank you,
Kaylee.
Thank you,
Kaylee. Okay. Any other citizens' proposals, questions, and concerns?
Thank you.
Well done. Okay, we'll move on to the workshop. Any citizens' proposals, questions, and concerns on the workshop items? Okay, Dr. Montesano.
Yeah, in terms of the budget hearing, just really acknowledgement that, there will be a budget newsletter that should be mailed out May 10th, I believe, that our community should be receiving. In the newsletter, it does a very nice job of outlining the entire budget as it's being presented. Without question, this is one of the historically lowest tax levy increases being called for at 0.24%. Simultaneously, while it does a strong job, and as well as the property tax freeze, because we'll be hitting that again this year, while there are some changes in the tax freeze structure under the governor's plan, many of our homeowners will receive a reimbursement again in terms of that, whatever the differential is for the school tax increase. But it is a very, very low school tax increase. Last year was one of the lowest we've had in 5 or 6 years, and that was at 1.65%. So just to put that in perspective. In addition, as the board knows, this is a budget that also will be maintaining class sizes, will be increasing and enhancing student programming across the district. And with that, there's also a strong allocation of surplus funds above $1 million that we primarily use to dedicate it to capital improvements. All of that is outlined in the budget. Our residents should also pay attention that they will be asked on three questions affiliated with expenditures. The first is the general budget, which again is that 0.24% tax increase. That is what the community will be voting on. There's also a question before the voters to allow the Board of Education to expend an existing capital improvement fund of $5 million. A third question that is asking the voters to enable us to establish an additional or expand an existing capital reserve fund from $5 million to $10 million. Those last two questions have zero impact on the tax levy or the tax structure in the community. So, again, I would just invite the community to look forward to the newsletter and certainly contact our offices if there's any questions about the budget. The budget will be taking place on Tuesday, May 17th. Polls will be open from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. And the polling, I believe, is listed on the polling locations, which are in our schools, correct? Should be listed in the budget newsletter as well.
There's one downtown.
Oh, there's one down in on Depew, yeah.
On Depew?
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Oh, it's not Merrydale? No, it's open. Okay. No, okay, great.
Yes,
thanks.
There are different polling places for general elections and for the school budget vote, so make sure you check your polling places.
Okay, excellent. Thanks, Dr. Montesano. Any comments or questions for Dr. Montesano? Trustee Marshall.
Just a question. So are you anticipating that those capital requests will be approved, and if not, is there a plan in case they don't get approved by the voters?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a crystal ball. I mean, I believe they're sound in terms of the, you know, the rationale of the expenditures. The expenditure using the existing funds in the capital reserve fund, as the board is aware, in order for the Board of Education to establish a capital reserve, it requires voter authorization. Secondarily, to expend the funds from a capital reserve fund, it requires voter authorization. So those $5 million are primarily going to be dedicated to the old high school, which do have some very much needed repairs that were not included in the bond referendum. Should the either of the questions be defeated, if the second question is defeated, it simply means that the board will not have the funds to be able to make those needed repairs at the old high school. And, you know, basically at that point, we'll go back to the drawing board, try to analyze, you know, why the community felt the way it may have if it wasn't in support of it. But those repairs will need to be done at some point. The second question simply means and this is really more for future expenditures, to allow us to expand that capital reserve fund. Should that be defeated, it simply means that that fund will just not exist. And in our minds, in terms of our review of our current situation, and given that five-year capital plan, which is a complete analysis of the needs that you have, it's basically like doing an audit of your house and saying, how many more years is my driveway going to last, my sidewalk, my roof? We know those expenditures at some point are going to hit this district. And the idea is to build that reserve fund so when that time comes, it does not burden your general expenditures to be able to take care of things. I think all of us have seen right here in Rockland County where school districts have seen their schools fall in very desperate need of repairs without the funding to be able to take care of those things, and either going to the state trying to beg for emergency funds or shutting down a school and relocating students. And the idea of this is not to put ourselves, this Board of Education has been extraordinarily prudent in its financial planning, including this most recent bond referendum. So the idea is really to situate the board, not for immediate concerns with that expansion, but really for down the road. But those repairs will at some point, just like your homes, are gonna appear.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much, Dr. Montesano. And Carly, thank you so much again for putting together a budget. Dr. Montesano?
Yes, at this point, I'm going to invite Gina Capiello and principal of Valley Cottage Elementary School and Lucia Pichardo, who is the chairperson for the Social Studies Department, who have been spending the better part of the last 2 years with a K-12 Social Studies Committee. And as the board knows, we do have a five-year cycle that we look at various phases of our curriculums throughout the district. And this is the completion of phase two, which was the current status of the program, what the needs are. They've then developed a plan for what ought to be of the program improvements. and they're now prepared to present their recommendations, which will lead to a program phase three implementation going to the next school year. So Gina and Lucy, and the microphone is someplace for you guys. Oh, you come in. And you're on the clock, so. Just hold, Jen, just one moment. Just let the board get situated so they don't have their backs to the screen. I won't count these minutes that you're losing here.
Lucia and I are so excited to make this presentation. We have been working on this for about the past 2 years, and part of what's exciting about it is it feels like things are aligning, the planets are coming together, because we're starting to see things that are coming through the science curriculum show up here. We're starting to see things coming through the math curriculum, and especially the ELA curriculum, coming through in the social studies framework, and I hope that you'll see it too. Starting from where we were, we had years ago New York State assessments in grades 5 and 8, Regents exams covering global history 1 and 2, U.S. history and government. We had the No Child Left Behind mandates, and we have the Common Core standards. We've moved on. We are now looking at a new curriculum, what we call the C3 framework, where the focus is really on college, career, and civic life, the framework for social studies, along with the state standards, our 21st century skills. What I hope that you'll see as we look at these different inquiries, they're not modules or units, but inquiries, you'll see us a real strong strand of communication, collaboration, critical thinking, and creative thinking. Actually doing social studies rather than sort of spitting it back. New York State K-12 social studies framework is based on the standards that have already existed. You are not going to see great changes in the actual content. It's really the change in how we do social studies. And the resource toolkit, which is really where we are now. Okay. There are three basic shifts in the way we're going to be teaching social studies. Now, I did a real quick little professional development with the K-2 teachers back on Superintendent's Conference Day, asked them to line up on one end of the hall if you loved social studies, it was your favorite subject, on the other, if it was your least favorite subject. And a couple people went right to the front of the line, people were sort of in the middle, and there were a couple teachers toward the end, and then one teacher moved about 8 feet down past the end. And I said, well, what made you stand there? And she said, because all I learned to do was spit back facts, names, dates, places. It never made sense. Asked the people on the other end why they loved it, and they said, it's a story. It's a great story. So we need to shift away from the names, dates, and places. They're a click away anyway. So we need to go from the facts to concepts and content knowledge, from breadth of topics. You know, history keeps going, but the time we have to teach it does not. To depth within topics, from recall to transfer and connections. From the teacher as the disseminator, the sage on the stage, to the teacher as the facilitator of an investigation. From students simply learning facts from textbooks to investigating the social sciences, and this is critical, using multiple resources. And by multiple, I don't mean just many resources, but many diverse resources with multiple perspectives. From students just retelling what was told to them or what they read, to constructing interpretations and communicating conclusions, especially as we get to the secondary level, Lucia, we'll talk about this a little bit, on just making claims and understanding counterclaims as well. From social studies classrooms where students may get an occasional nonfiction book to read, to where they're doing the reading, they're learning to read, to discuss, write, and be social scientists. From developing some literacy skills and some social studies skills separately to really integrating those practices and skills, and from students learning, just learning content, to being able to take that content, apply it, integrate it, and sort of pull threads through so they can see how things like power, belief systems, interdependence, economics weaves throughout history and the social sciences. This framework, this arc, really, we flipped it over. When I went to school, the content specifications drove everything. That would have been on the top of the arc. Notice it's on the bottom now. We can find the facts we need. Asking the questions is what's really important, and being able to have the skills to answer those questions and knowing where to go to get the answers to those questions, that's what's really important. I'm going to turn this over to Lucia now, talk about what's the same and different.
Okay, so in terms of the content that Gina mentioned before, the content really hasn't changed much. The fifth grade, obviously, is that they are not just Mexico, so the United States, Canada, Mesoamerica, and South America. In terms of the U.S. history, it's saying it's not a mini U.S. history. Obviously, they learned U.S. history in 2 years because of their developmentally, they're younger. For global studies for the 9th and 10th and 11th grade, the shift has been more in terms of vocabulary. The vocabulary is a little bit more sophisticated. They want to make it in alignment with the AP. So we have to work in terms of acquiring a common language with the students from K through 12. With economics, we are working on financial literacy. So in addition to the inquiries, we're adding a piece to economics as well. What are the big changes in social studies? So this is going to be, in terms of implementing the framework, where are we and where are we going? For this past 2 years, we've been working, obviously, on planning and applying the inquiries. We, at department meetings and things of that nature, we basically sit there and have pedagogical conversations about how this shift is going to affect us. As Gina mentioned before, children are moving from the passive consumption of information to a more engaging sort of holistic thinking and learning. In the ninth grade now that are coming in this September are going to be the first students that take the new assessment in 2018. So these ninth graders are not going to be assessed the way that that students are being assessed now. The test is only going to cover 10th grade material, not 9th grade material. So this is exciting because it gives us an opportunity to obviously work with the draft that the state has put out in terms of the exam. I do want to say that my department, and I want to give them a lot of credit, even though the assessment is changing, our teaching is not changing. We are actually teaching and preparing students for the challenges that are ahead. We are going to face two different assessments because this is going to be a transition year, but the problem solving and the skills that we're teaching students are really going to be what's going to prepare them. Big changes, like I mentioned before, the global history is only going to include 10th grade and not 9th grade as it is now, so the assessment is 10th grade, not 9th grade. We're still going to teach the 9th grade curriculum, and we are going to give a local assessment. The emphasis on the Regents exam is going to be more of the big idea. So in the past, it has been just retelling of stories and things of that nature, like the left brain in terms of sequential thinking. And then now we're using the whole brain, if that makes sense, in terms of holistic thinking and the big ideas and enduring understanding throughout. There'll be fewer multiple choice questions, which is great. The kids are going to get a prompt, or it could be in the form of a political cartoon, or it could be a map or things of that nature, and then they have to answer a question. The DBQ will be sort of like an argumentative essay, but really what it is it's an essay where the kids are gonna have to extract an enduring idea. So they'll be giving like four documents, and within the documents there'll be 4 to 5 possible ideas, and the kids have to determine whether it's human rights or whether it's war, and what that idea, how that idea carries throughout. Okay. This is the format. Part one is going to be stimuli-based multiple choice question. Part two, constructive response, short answer. And the kids are used to doing this because we do a lot of documents and scaffolding. And the enduring issue essay. So we went from having two essays to having one essay on the assessment.
The wonderful thing in terms of vertical articulation of this curriculum is that every grade has six inquiries. Every inquiry starts with a question. All the inquiries are set up in exactly the same way from kindergarten to 12th grade. So it's a wonderful sort of way to look at it. Every inquiry, regardless of grade, starts with a compelling question. Compelling questions are designed to interest students, and I'll share some of them in a bit with you. On the surface, they may look pretty much like yes or no questions, but when you really pull it apart and think about it, they go much, much deeper. There is a greater level of intellectual rigor and student relevance. It's got to mean something to the students. And they are all done to set up for a summative performance task. This is the outline that we're using for the curriculum in every single grade. Okay. There are things that we want our social studies students to know. We want students to know in every content area. Not just the names and dates and places, but the skills, the disciplinary skills, the inquiry skills, the technology skills, and the forces. Every compelling question has three supporting questions that are designed to scaffold and bring students to that to be able to answer the main question. Okay. This is one of my favorites. This is a kindergarten unit. Why can't we ever get everything we need and want, which if you know a kindergartner is absolutely perfect. The tasks, the summative task is just that summative, but the three questions along the way have performance tasks that are formative. So we're able to assess in multiple ways. Here's a seventh grade inquiry on compromise. Now, if you have ever met with a seventh grader, almost every response is, that's not fair. So here's a good one. Is compromise always fair? The content is about the great compromise leading toward the Constitution, but this is a great way to gain student interest. So our next steps. This summer, we will actually be writing the curriculum. We have the outlines from the state. We have been, over the course of this year, vetting resources. They've given some suggested ones. Some of them we found to be wonderful, some of them not so wonderful. But we are supplementing and putting other resources in where they're not really growing a bank of resources that are multicultural, multidimensional. Resources at various reading levels, because everybody's got to come to the dance. Every child, whether they're a strong reader or not, whether they are just learning English or they are proficient in English, they need to be able to access this curriculum. And the way that happens is through using a wide variety of resources, again, from multiple perspectives. At the elementary level, we started K-2 already rolling out and doing an introduction with those teachers. At the elementary level, because they've had so many rollouts recently, each grade is choosing two of the six that they will be doing next year. They'll be getting professional development. I'm going to be going into all the elementary schools, working with all the grade level teachers to provide support, do some model lessons so they can see how to roll this out. It works beautifully with IDE, which is great because it really is student directed. And at the elementary level, we're looking for a full rollout of all the inquiries the following school year. But we're going to have everything written, we hope, this summer.
Okay, so at the secondary level, we're going to collaborate with the English department. We've collaborated with them before. We'll continue to collaborate in terms of making it interdisciplinary. They've been doing a lot of argumentative writing for a very long time, so this is just a great marriage for us at this point. Professional development, we'll continue to send teachers to workshop and do the professional development during department meetings, et cetera, and superintendent conference meeting. But just casually, our department really just collaborates during prep time, and there's really no time for us, no set time for us to actually do this work. We're always conversing and trying to improve our craft. Developing a lot, we actually are working in collaboration with a lot of the ENL teachers, because and they currently have the inquiries so that they can modify the inquiries for the special ed students and the ENL students in terms of the resources. We continue to pilot the inquiries and evaluate and revise them. Okay. This actually, I like that slide a lot. A spirit of inquiry. It's not just a spirit of inquiry for the children that are in front of us. It's actually a spirit of inquiry for us as teachers. We actually have to look at teaching and learning in a different way. And that's exciting that we get an opportunity to revamp our craft the way that we're doing it. But it gives us an opportunity to personalize education as well. Because we have more time now to spend with kids knowing and understanding what it is that they do right, as opposed to making them work hard at the things that they're not so good at. Okay, so
I added one inquiry title from each grade here, did the kindergarten one, and you can see how they might be engaging to students. In grade one, what do family stories tell us about the past? If grade two, if we lived in the present, why should we care about the past? Grade three, do people around the world care about children's rights? Four, did the American dream come true for immigrants who came to New York? This is actually one of those perfect questions, because what is the American dream? Is it the same to every single person? Maybe not. And all immigrants? Did everybody have the same experience? If you read textbooks, it doesn't always come that way. You sort of get one approach or maybe two. And then did it matter if it was New York or not? There are so many different ways to look at it. And then finally in grade five, what's the real cost of bananas? That's an economics unit about interdependence and fair trade in Latin America.
We just wanted to show you what are some of the sample topics in there. And just to give you a quick example in terms of what I was talking about in terms of revising the inquiries. For the inquiry in ninth grade on Suleiman, the Western historians have always said that Suleiman was the magnificent. And we always taught children how magnificent Suleiman was. And the question that the state actually put out was, how magnificent was Suleiman? And we revised that to saying, was Suleiman magnificent? We put all the evidence in front of the children, how great he was in battle, etc. But Suleiman actually killed his son. So we were able to provide a lot of different perspectives so that the children could actually decide whether he was magnificent or not. Okay. How the pathways affect us in social studies. In the past, children had to take both exams, the global history and geography and the U.S. history, with the different pathways that the state has. The students are not necessarily mandated to take both. They could take one and then select one of the pathways.
I wanted to recognize Lucia absolutely for all her help and on the secondary level, and it's good to get back there with her, and also the work of the committee. Tommy and Nina are sitting right here from the secondary level. These are some of the other members of this committee who've been working very, very hard to vet resources and to try some things out to see what's going to work. So thank you all to them and to you for listening, and we're open for questions. Thank you.
All right, the board, any questions? Jen Maraschino.
Hi, can you start, I guess? Well, thank you. That was really, really, really great presentation. I'm just thinking of how to phrase my question. Everything that you said sounds wonderful. You know, really talking about like inquiry and the questions, and a little less emphasis on memorization. So I'm just wondering, like, what it will look like to a parent when it's implemented. You know, maybe more. I guess I'm thinking most about maybe elementary, middle school. That just tends to be the age where, as a parent, you're quizzing your kids in the morning. You know, I don't. At least for me, my high school kids tend to stop asking me to quiz them. I don't find myself doing it as much. It was more elementary and middle school. And really, I think some of my kids, honestly, their best teachers have been their social studies teachers. Still, there's been a lot of, all right, you know, let me quiz you, memorize it. How different will it look?
I'm going to just jump in real quick, and the ladies can add on to it. But probably the biggest, you know, most of you saw Most Likely to Succeed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The board, I think, is pretty understanding of the need for us to really rethink the way we are preparing kids for their world. Their world is remarkably different than the world their parents entered, you know, during their school times. Probably the biggest challenge, I think, all schools that are doing very effective work in schools is educating their parent community about the change and the need. Because most parents, and I know we saw this clearly with the transformation of the math program, that when it doesn't look the same as when they went to school, it must be bad, or it must be wrong, or they're just frustrated about how to do that. So I would anticipate that part of the work that we'll be doing in the future, much like is being done currently with our math program, with the ELA program, is parental workshops to help parents, just the way we did, if you remember the board, a few different times we brought some of the math specialists in, and we gave you some sample lessons just to show you the differences and helping people understand. The biggest thing about change for anyone is understanding why we can't stay where we are, why things do have to change for kids going forward. So my answer is simply is, yes, it's going to be different. There's a reason why it's going to be different. The four C's is the one thing that jumps out at me in terms of those competencies that we believe, not just we in terms of our own personal opinions, but what the data, the research, the empirical data is telling us in terms of the competencies kids need for their world, for their future. And I really do want to congratulate the work of the committee because, in my opinion, of all of our curriculums, you know, we're really working hard. I do want to recognize Dr. Gregory and her office for all the coordination of these efforts. This particular curriculum, as it's being presented, to me, is the closest. And I wish, you know, Trustee Kaplan was here to talk about, you know, performance assessment and project-based, is really closest to where we're going as a district. It's going to look different, and understanding the difference between, you know, because, you know, a lot of parents, what, you know, think of social study, well, you know, the 50 capitals of all of our states. And, you know, we can look that information up on our smartphones. Yeah. This is much more engaging, and the big ideas that they spoke about is really where this a social studies curriculum is about in terms of where we're heading. So.
Yes.
So instead of quizzing a child, let's say even a kindergartner, you know, is this a want or a need? One of the things that we would do is we'd take some, because it's fuzzy, mm-hmm. Learning's fuzzy. Put out a bottle of water and a bottle of Gatorade and said, which one of these do you think is a want and a need? The truth is that depending on the situation, it can change. And when we get kids to think that way, outside that box, instead of just spitting back the information and said, well, you know what, if I'm a runner, I might need that Gatorade. That might be a need. But under any other circumstances, it might be a want. And that's the kind of thinking that we're looking for, even from kindergartners. So it's not about the quiz.
Sounds great. Yeah, I also love to see that you talked about you know, aligning the English and social studies curriculum a little bit more. You know, again, for some reason, it's always middle school. I think the things just pop up the most obviously with you, with things. And it just seems like there's so many great historical fiction books that can go along with, you know, that you were reading in ELA that can go along with the social studies curriculum. Like, I just find I learn that way. Historical fiction really works for my mind. But
and yeah, the science, so too. It's about making claims and supporting the claims with evidence.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Any other questions? Trustee Mark.
Thank you for the presentation. You talked about teachers looking forward to treating all this stuff with their students in a different way. So what's the procedure of giving them some professional development and training them to do so?
Well, at the elementary level, we've already put dates on the calendar for next year. It will involve model lessons, like going into each of the three elementary schools, doing model lessons that the other teachers can watch. I can do some of those, and kind of pulling it apart, taking people who've had the IDE training or will have it, will definitely, they'll see a very smooth transition. For the teachers who have not had that, that we're going to talk about doing some mini lessons and then finding resources and setting up centers that kids can work through to find the answers that they need to find out. That's what the instruction is going to look different at the elementary level.
At the high school level, we already started implementing the inquiries. So there's going to be a lot of intervisitations so that the teachers can see how other teachers are implementing the inquiries, whether it is as part of their authentic learning units with the IDE or in the, you know, the regular teaching. But during department meetings, we do use the time to actually talk curriculum. We have a very open department and a department that is very strong and willing to move forward. So we do that kind of training all the time. The four of our middle school teachers out of the seven that are currently going to the BOCES as a toolkit for training. So four at the middle school, three at the high school level are going, and then we come back and we share all that information.
Okay, and last question from me, the DBQ that was mentioned, and the kids get four documents and they have to answer with a written essay. I assume, given the overarching philosophy of critical thinking, that there are rubrics that allow them to answer the thing differently and still be correct.
Yes, that's actually one of the shifts that the state has put out. In the past, it used to be that they used to give us the theme, and now the children are going to be able to extract the theme. And then from there, but to be quite honest, the state put out the draft of the test. They did not have anything in terms of grading. What they had said was that the grading was going to be holistic, but we don't have a chart, like a conversion chart, as of now. We just received in April the draft. So we've been working with that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions? Trustee Johnson.
Thank you, President Hughes. Thank you for this great presentation. This is just really exciting stuff. You know, to me, the idea that education was ever just about being a data dump, I just never got it. To me, it's always about conceptual understanding, you know, student inquiry, interaction, collaboration. It just seems like that's common sense. So it's nice to see that we're in that direction. This is really exciting. I just thank you for the presentation. I'm looking forward to watching it. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think my question is more for Dr. Montesano around communication to parents as this rolls out will probably be critical, because you did remind me of the math. I remember running to Khan Academy trying to relearn the new math to try to help my son as he was coming up. So is there what's the game plan? Is there communication plan that's out there?
Yeah, well, I'd like to think on a broader level.
Yeah.
You know, part of our overall strategic planning process is to start to focus attention in the district about our vision for the profile of a NIAC High School graduate. Mm-hmm. And you saw actually some of those competencies embedded in that.
Yes, I agree.
So I do see this as a slow-moving process. I would also anticipate, much as we've done through Dr. Gregory's office at the with our other curriculums, math included, ELA, science, is having parent nights with regard to, you know, helping them demonstrate through model lessons a little bit more information. Simultaneously, there is a shift, you know, part of the shift is going to be driven by the change, mandated change of the way in which the region's tests are going to be designed, and there's a real shift there. So there's going to be a need for communication about the changes, and so it'll be a slow moving. You can see even the implementation phase, it's not going to be an immediate automatic shift. And together, you know, I think our parents are already recognizing that in many of our classrooms, our classes are in fact different in terms of our, it's, you know, we don't have a lot of classes where the teacher is simply at the front of the class in frontal teaching. There are times when that is always going to be true, but you're going to see a lot more, you know, our intention is more self-directed type of, you know, starting the problem up first across all of our disciplines. And that, in my mind, is going to be a way of life. And you're going to see a similar shift as we start to focus on our technology plan and, you know, seeing how technology can help us enhance ourselves in terms of going forward. So it's not just social studies that we should see changes in. And I think it's, you know, one of the points of that film, when you looked at the history of how, you know, American schools were designed, that idea of, you know, math takes place at this time and English takes place at this time and social studies was really a design dimension from many, many, many decades ago. And the idea that you're going to start seeing more interdisciplinary type of a focus makes more sense to kids, you know, to see the connections of learning. So it's, as I said, I think it's going to be slow moving. I do, you know, believe there's going to be a continued need for professional workshops or parent workshops and things, which are not always terribly well attended. So maybe we have to think outside of the box ourselves, even, you know, making videos, you know, YouTube videos available for parents to just see, you know, learn more about it. So I think that'll be a communication challenge that we'll have to kind of think about a little bit.
Yep.
Got your work cut out, Lisa. Trustee Marshall.
Thank you. I was going to add to your comment, not only does it make more sense to kids, it makes it more inspiring for kids to learn. And thank you for the presentation. It makes sense to me. It's great. I just wanted to ask you about the topic and key ideas for the toolkit inquiries. Is that it's what's coming, or is that current and being revised?
We have all of the inquiries right now.
Okay.
The difference elementary and secondary is this. At the elementary level, we share the instructional period right now, social studies and science. The inquiries cover pretty much everything. It's obviously not, there's not as much depth in the elementary school. Okay. We're in a good place. Secondary, the inquiries are there, but there is still other content that needs to be taught, so other inquiries need to be developed. Mm-hmm. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does, because I noticed that you have, in the 12th grade, you have the voting, the political parties, the campaign finance, and then you have the Affordable Care Act. So I was just curious about that.
I do want to add, though, that even though the curriculum is not complete as of yet at the state level, the assessment that the kids are going to have to take at the end is not content-based. It's more skill-based. So even though all the content is not there, the kids are not going to be assessed on content. It's going to be more on skills. They're going to be presented with the content, and they're going to have to analyze, evaluate, okay, and synthesize information from there. So the fact that it's not there does not present a big challenge. And I also want to add that in terms of knowledge acquisition, we were fortunate because social studies is one of those things where the brain actually stores information through storytelling. So we were, in terms of the kids doing well on the assessments and everything else, the kids do very, very well. We had 92-93% of the kids passing the exam. But even so, that's not our emphasis. Our emphasis is not on grade. We want kids to be able to take that information and transfer that learning throughout.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much to you, to the committee, for doing this. And I am tremendously excited for a number of reasons. It's always good when we can progress our curriculum and get to a point where we're preparing our children for the next century, which is what the 21st century, which is what we're all about. And as I was listening to you and I was watching this, I'm thinking IDE. Mm-hmm. And of course, this is what you're talking about. And then I remember I got a mail from my son's teacher in sixth grade last year, and I just want to read it to you because this to me is just so telling. She goes, "Hi, Karen. Just wanted to share a validating moment that I had today. I step out in the hallway during passing and caught Nicholas, my son, in a heated conversation with friends regarding Hannibal, a Carthaginian general we've been talking about in class.
It was so nice to hear them debating about whether he was this great general that history makes him out to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, how much more evidence do we need that this is the way we need to go? And it has started, which is the wonderful thing. You know, clearly this was sixth grade, and it's only going to get better. So, not just based on the mail, but I knew this, right? But thank you. It is absolutely validated, and we can't thank you enough for where you're taking our kids. So, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Now let me find the agenda. Thank you. All right, so workshop item 6.4, our resolution on the New York State Monitor. So we had a couple of our board members work to put a draft together for us, and thank you so much to Trustee Marshall, Trustee Mark, and Trustee Irving, who isn't here. But thanks for your efforts around this. So I trust everybody has had a chance to look through it. Are there any comments on the draft that was sent? I know there was a suggested change that came through. Was that adopted?
Oh, yes. Trustee Jopter, you made a suggested change as far as CC.
To add the assembly, the Speaker of the Assembly, Carl Heastie, to that list.
So who owns the document right now? Is that you, James? Could you make that change, or is it Leanne?
Sure. I can.
Just not now, but
no.
So
I
that
can't
it can be sent
it,
on to to our district clerk to send. So if you could add that. Any other comments on this?
I think it looks great. Great job, guys. I mean, and girls. Yeah. It's very, very good.
Yeah, I just want to go on record as well, thanking the board members that constructed the document. Job well done.
Okay.
And I just wanted to thank President Hughes for really pushing it. We were the second district and will be the second district to put forth a resolution, and also thank those community members who educated us, Oscar Cohen and Brian Burrell and Constance Frazier, for their education on this topic.
Yeah, that's an input, yeah. Okay, so we don't have a vote on this. There isn't an action item on this tonight.
It can be moved. You know, through a motion.
But we
board.
Need approved with the amendment. Okay.
Just the amendment to add Assemblyman Carl Hastie.
Do we have
Hastie.
A motion to move to action?
Motion.
Okay, excellent.
Second.
Okay. We don't need to vote, if I understand right. We just need a motion and a second to move to action.
To move it to action.
To move
then we have to take action.
Okay. All right. So moving on. Any citizens' questions, proposals, and concerns on any of the action items? Very few citizens. Okay. business. Dr. Montesano, anything to highlight in the business section?
No, just... the board is aware that there's a number of bid awards which will allow us to move these projects forward. Very exciting this summer. Most of these projects this summer will be dedicated to high school. I will be sending out a communication to the community, much like we did prior to last summer, outlining all the various projects. There are several bids that are not listed here tonight that are still being analyzed by our architects, and we do anticipate several of those probably going out for rebid, and our hope is that we'll see them on a future agenda, probably as possibly as early as May 17th.
Excellent. Thank you. Okay, do we have a motion to accept action items 8.1 through 8.6?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Discussion?
I had a question.
Yes, sir.
Never mind. Carlene will get upset with me if I ask a question. it's always the disposal of the equipment, and there's a 1997
that is,
Ford Explorer.
Yes. Public sale. That's a 1997 Ford Explorer that was being used by Bob Booth that no longer runs.
Oh, okay.
The disposal that you'll be taking action on will allow the board... I'm answering for Carlene so she doesn't get upset. that will allow the business office to shift it to a government website where it will be out for auction. So we will be looking to collect a few dollars. It does not start currently, so maybe, I don't know, the Garage Monkey or somebody will find it useful.
That was it.
Do we have any more such assets in our inventory? Yeah, a Lamborghini, maybe, to raise some money, a Porsche.
There's a few other very old assets that are probably sitting here. Sure.
That was it.
I just have a question. I'm sorry. So if we were moving the resolution.
I'm going to call that separately.
Okay.
Yeah, I got to call it separately.
Just to call it out. Okay.
Okay.
Any other discussion? Nope. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Do we have, just for the record, we are moving our workshop item, resolution for the New York State Monitor and East Ramapo School District, with the amendment as discussed, to an action item. So do we have a motion to accept this resolution?
As action item 8.7.
As action item 8.7, we'll call it 8.7. It's now 6.4 as a workshop to be action 8.7. Do we have a motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Discussion?
As amended.
I would think that we'd want to read it maybe into the record for the podcast.
Yeah.
Do we do that?
As we're accepting it now, yes, that's a good idea.
Here, it's right here.
I just closed it.
It's right here. You're going to bring it up? Okay.
I got it.
Okay.
So the amended, the resolution is as follows. Whereas with professional guidance from the superintendent, school boards have fiduciary responsibility for decision making and oversight of district funds, infrastructure, resources, personnel, curriculum, and related programs, with the overarching goal of providing a high quality, equitable education for public school students, and as outlined by state law, to provide specific services and resources to private school students residing in the district. And whereas notwithstanding outside parameters placed on the district, when a board consistently acts over a long period of time in a manner which diminishes the quality of education for students, public and or private, stringent oversight is essential. And whereas a state monitor with veto power has been proposed and endorsed by a broad spectrum of state and local politicians, as well as a long list of religious and civil rights organizations, and whereas the NIAC Board of Education concurs with the monitor's report regarding East Ramapo School District, now, therefore, be it resolved that, one, the NIAC Board of Education supports the appointment of a state monitor with veto power over decisions of the East Ramapo School District to ensure that board decisions are made in the best interest of all public and private students. And two, the district clerk is directed to send this resolution to Assembly Member Ellen Jaffe, Assembly Member Ken Zabrowski, and State Senator David Carlucci, Governor Andrew Cuomo, Senator John Flanagan, and
Assembly Speaker Carl Heastie.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Dr. Montesano, personnel?
Yes, I do want to bring to the attention the appointment of Carrie Horan, who is being recommended as a special education teacher at Upper Nyack. This is for a self-contained autistic class. And I think this is really good news. This is really necessitated because of the expanding program, our artistic program, at the school. And Carrie is being recommended. She holds a BS and an MS at Manhattan College in special education and early childhood education. And in addition to her experience in autistic classrooms in her prior district, also comes to us with very strong expertise in the area of applied behavioral analysis, which is a critical component of operating a autistic program. I also want to, with great excitement, point out 9.4. As the board knows, we have really worked hard as a school district to be able to expand community outreach, to be able to provide programming outside of our classrooms to meet the very, very diverse needs of our students. And through the efforts of our state legislators, we have received special bullet aid to begin to operate this program, which is a Saturday, four-week Saturday ENL STEM Academy, which will be designed for approximately 25 middle school students. It will be held at the middle school on Saturday mornings from 8:30 to 11:30, I believe it's going to be the week after next, the first Saturday. And Tom Perry, who is a science teacher at the high school, Marissa Rivera, who is an ENL teacher at the middle school, are being recommended to operate this program. So it's really a very exciting undertaking. It's a first for the district. And I do want to compliment our Director of Bilingual Programming, Audrey Cabell, who has helped basically created this program for us, working also with Dr. Gregory's office. And again, I think it's another demonstrable effort on the part of the district to, again, meet the needs of every student in this school district. So.
Okay, thank you. Do we have a motion to accept personal action items 9.1 to 9.5?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
We are adjourned.
Thank you. I like your nose in.